And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Whew! Glory! Wow, his tune changed real fast. I'm sure he relaxed after that. Whew, no problem. Look at that. Chariots of fire, angels all around here. We got it made. Hey, we had it made before. You just didn't see it, servant. You just didn't see it. You're going by what you were seeing, not by what God was doing. And when they came down to him, imagine this now, Elisha, he wasn't afraid at all. They started moving in on the city. He just went out. They came down to him, and he just prayed another prayer. What did he pray? He prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he, the Lord, smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Sounds like a man of faith, doesn't it? Lord, smite these people with blindness, please. And it was done. Do you believe this? How many believe this? Bless God! He's still the same today! Alright, let's look on. And Elijah said unto them, this is not the way. Now, they're all there blind now, see? They're all blind, and he's telling them, this is not the way. This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me! I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come into Samaria, that Elisha said, now, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, my father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. And he prepared great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. That was enough for them. Oh, what a lesson. I mean, they came back and they sat down with the king and said, you won't believe what happened to us, but this is what happened. And all them soldiers were there to witness to the king. And the king said, that's enough. I can't fight against Elijah or his God. And they never went there again. Praise God. Faith works in the realm of the things not seen, young people. Of the things that are not seen. Things hoped for and things that are seen with the eye of faith. That's where faith works. The Lord Jesus lived in these realms while he was on the earth, didn't he? Agreed? He saw his invisible Father. He saw him. He saw his invisible. Take these words. Lazarus, come forth. At the time of his crucifixion, and the disciples were all up in air, and they wanted to try to make a big scene and make a big fight and try to protect the Lord. The Lord Jesus reminded them, don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels? But for this cause came I forth. All those angels are out there, Jesus said. But this is what I came forth for. So we're just going to go ahead and do what my Father wants me to do. Young people, what do you hope for? what do you see? You know, this whole matter of living by faith, it has to do with vision. Dreams and vision. Do you know that? Do you know that I've learned through the years of my Christian life that God does everything in my life in the future by visions that He puts in my heart in the present? And I'm not talking about what Moses talked about today, although I believe in that too, but I've never seen one. I've never seen a vision on the ceiling. I've never seen that. I never saw a sheet let down out of heaven with creeping things crawling around on it like Peter did. I've never seen anything like that, but I believe those things happen. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a vision where God writes a mental picture upon the heart. And I've learned through the course of my Christian life that everything that God wants to do in my life in the future, He writes on my heart in the present. And it's something that I see and hear, but I do not have yet. That's what the Christian life is all about. Young people, what are you hoping for? You see, here's how it works. You come to this book. You come to this book with an open faith. With an open and a clear heart, you come to this book and you begin to read. And this book is a very powerful book if you read it that way. It will do things inside of you. It will write things upon your heart. It will cause you to sit and gaze at the ceiling for a half an hour in absolute rapt awe over what you just saw. And that's how God leads you through the future. I wonder what you see, young people. Your young men shall dream dreams, and your old men shall see visions. I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. That's what Joel said. Oh, young people, it is the will of God that you learn in the age that you are to live in the realm of the Spirit. There God will talk to you. There God will write things upon your heart. There God will put things in you that you will hope for. He will give you things. You will see them with the eyes of your heart, but you will not see them with the eyes in your head. But there will be this mysterious influence working in you, which will cause you to move toward that which you see with the eyes of your heart. And behold, you will turn around 5 years later, maybe, and you will be living in the reality, and you will be seeing with your very eyes the thing that God put in your heart 5 years before. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. God wants you young people to learn to live in the realm of the Spirit. That's not just for the preachers. It's for all of God's people. Let's go back to the text of this year. Now, you'll have to trust me today, because some of what I'm saying today, if you take it all by itself, it doesn't fit with what I said yesterday, but tomorrow it will fit together. We'll put all the legs on the chair together tomorrow, and you will understand. So, we see here in Hebrews 11, verse 1, that faith works in the realm of things hoped for and in the realm of things not seen. But now, what is faith? The Bible says here that faith is substance. And you know, there's so much wrestling around with this version of the Bible and that version of the Bible, and this wasn't the right interpretation of that word, and all of that. Today, I get weary of it. But just think about this word right here. Faith is the substance. Just leave it right there. Faith is substance. Now, we just talked about things you can't see, but God says faith is substance. of the Word to help us to understand that Word. Faith is, it is ground. It's something you can stand on. Faith is confidence. Inner confidence. Faith is assurance. And these are just different words which define the word substance. You take the Greek word substance. These are words which help us to define that Greek word for substance. It is ground. Ground is something you stand on. It's stable. It doesn't move. And brothers and sisters, dear young people, I'm telling you, faith is substance. In the spiritual realm, it is more solid. It is more easily to stand upon it than even the things that we see around us. And you think, now, Brother Denny, I'm not sure about that. Well, you go back to the illustration of Elijah. Did he have any ground to stand on? He was standing so firm. He was walking by faith. And he was standing on the substance of faith. And it didn't really matter to him about all them soldiers out there. No big deal at all. No big deal at all. My mind goes to the illustration that Daryl Champlin gives. He's a missionary, part-time missionary now down in Suriname, South America, and they had a lot of political unrest there, and there's been war, civil war in Suriname, and every now and then in their mission compound is right on the river. And every now and then the gunboats would pull down the river, trying to chase all the people away, and they'd pull up with their gunboats and point them at his mission compound, and get over the loudspeaker and tell him to go home. Go home, you missionaries. Brother Daryl Campbell, he just walked out on his front porch, went out there on the edge of the riverbank and said, we're not going home. He just stared right down the barrel of those guns on that gunboat, and he told him, we're not going home. If you want to shoot, you shoot, but we're not going home. And they looked back down that barrel out at him and said, let's go on down the way. They left him alone. How could he do such a thing? He was standing on substance, young people. He heard from God that morning, I guarantee it. You don't do things like that in the natural. That's done by spiritual sight. And he saw a God bigger than that little toy gunboat floating around out there in that water. And he defied those men. By the grace of God, he did it. Faith is substance, young people. It's confidence. It's full assurance. Faith is an inner witness that says, I know that I know that I know. That's what faith is. I know that I know that I know. And it's also the evidence of things not seen. You see, what God is trying to help us to see is that this whole life of faith is more stable than the life we live in the realm of the physical around us. It is more stable. And the way I can say that is because the words that God uses to define what faith is, these are overpowering words. Faith is the substance, the ground, the confidence, the full assurance. Faith is the evidence, the proof accepted, the conviction. That word conviction. And that's what convictions are, by the way. When we accept the proof from God, it becomes a conviction in our heart. There's a difference between convictions and preferences. Convictions, you die for. Amen? Preferences, yes, you don't die for them. But convictions, you die for them. And convictions, you can die for them. Because they're convictions. They are the proof accepted. And I'm not going to budge. See, that's what Daryl Templin had. He had the proof accepted. He had the conviction in his heart, number one, that God wanted him to be there, and number two, that nobody is going to touch me without going through my Heavenly Father. And that conviction was so deep in his soul that he stared down the barrel of that gunboat and defied those men. He had a conviction that God wanted him there. Faith is, I have received the proof of all proving from God. That's what faith is. I have received the proof of all proving, and I have accepted it. And because of that, I have assurance and confidence and ground to stand on. Now, faith is a mystery. I'm sure you'll agree with that. If you're listening to me today, you're probably saying, Brother Denny, I'm not with you today. What are you saying? Faith is a mystery. It is. Paul said in 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. We'll say more about that later this week. But faith moves in the realm of the mysterious, and the natural man does not understand the realms of faith. Faith moves in the realms of the spirit, and faith is like the spirit. The wind blows, and you're not sure where it's coming from, but you see the effect thereof. Faith and the Holy Spirit are very closely connected, and you will know that. We will help you to see more of that later. And for now, may I just say that faith, this mysterious faith, is very closely connected with God. Very closely connected with God. In Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, the Bible says that faith is a seed. It likens faith unto a seed, a mustard seed, so small, yet it groweth in time. And I want to encourage you with that, young people. You don't have to go out tomorrow and look down the barrel of a gunboat. God's not asking you to do that tomorrow. But He is asking you to begin to walk by faith today. And little by little, He will bring you to the place, and you might even be surprised, but He'll bring you to the place where you can look down the barrel of a gunboat and say, I'm not afraid of you. That is, if you walk by faith, you'll be able to do that. If you don't, you can join those fellows that Moses talked about this morning. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2, we see that faith is a principle. It is a law. Like the law of gravity, faith is a law. In fact, you even find that phrase, I believe it's in the book of Romans, the law of faith. It is a principle. It's a principle that can be learned and acted upon. In John chapter 6 and verse 29, we see that faith is a work. The disciples were watching the Lord Jesus do many mighty things, and in their natural understanding of all that, they said to the Lord Jesus, what must we do that we can work the mighty works of God? That's what they said. You know what He told them? He surprised them all. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe and continue to believe and continue to believe on Me. That's what Jesus said. Oh, Lord Jesus, what must we do? What can we do so that we can do those things that You're doing? He so wisely told them, if you ever want to do what I'm doing, you start right here. This is the work of God, that ye believe and continue to believe and continue to believe on you. I want to encourage you with that one, young people. You want to look down the barrel of a gunboat some days and you start believing and continue to believe and continue to believe on Him. And you may do that someday. Faith is a work. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 11 says, let us therefore labor to enter into His rest. And that labor there, if you study the context of Hebrews 3 and 4, is the labor of faith. It is a work. We are told in the Bible to believe. It is a choice. It is a voluntary act, which if continued in, becomes a gracious state of being. We are told in the Bible to believe. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, the Bible says that faith is a fight. Faith is a fight. Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. And by this, we see and understand that there are obstacles to this life of faith that we're called to. We have an enemy that will turn us away from the faith. We have an enemy who would like to turn us away from living a life of faith. I guarantee he would like to turn us away from that. And we also have our own unbelieving nature to contend with. And Paul said to Timothy, fight a good fight of faith. And I want you to notice the way that Paul looked at it. He called it a good fight. A good fight. And every soldier likes a good fight. Amen. Paul said, this is a good fight. This is one you can train for, young men, young ladies. Fight a good fight of faith. At the end of his life, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept. You meditate on what that means. But Paul said it just maybe a few days before he put his head down on the chopping block. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And henceforth it is laid up for me a crown of life. Let's look at our text again. Now that we understand just a little more about what faith is, the writer of the book of Hebrews says to the Hebrew Christian, cast not away therefore your confidence. Which hath great recompense and reward. For ye have need of patience. That after that you have done the will of God, you might receive the fulfillment of the promise. The full fulfillment of the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. But until then, now, today, the just man, the righteous man, shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. This confidence, this substance, this assurance, this conviction, this leaning of his entire being upon God, the just man will live by faith until he comes. But if any man draw back and not live by faith anymore, young people. If any man draw back and not live by faith anymore, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. I will be grieved, the writer says. Ah, but we are not of them which who draw back unto perdition. And that word perdition means what you think it means. Judgment and hell. He says, we are not of them. We are not of those that draw back unto perdition. But we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. I want you just to ponder that little phrase there. Aren't they saved? Aren't they Christians already? Why is he saying it that way? Couldn't they say, God saved my soul? Sure they could. God saved me. But I believe Paul says, but we are of them that believe and believe and believe and believe and believe and believe to the saving of our soul, to the full salvation of our soul someday in glory. We are of those who just keep on believing and keep on believing and keep on believing unto the saving of our soul in glory someday. Cast not therefore away your confidence. Don't cast it away. It has great recompense and reward. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for these young, open, expectant heart. God, thank you for the privilege that I have to stand before them and teach and preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray in the eyes of their heart, Lord. In the eyes of their heart. Just like Elijah. And have a glimpse of you. Lord, we pray in the sessions to follow that you will help us to understand. You will help us to make it easy for them to understand that when they are done, they will walk by faith. Pray in Jesus Christ's name.
God bless you for listening to the preaching of His Word. You may leave us a message by pressing 99. To hear information about our Saturday morning Bible study, press 88. To find out how to listen to a church service at Effort of Christian Fellowship, press 77. To hear the menu for this topic again, please stay on the line. To listen to any other message in this topic, press the appropriate extension number now.